As has been mentioned, we will have the message before the next team. This message is based on the passage of Scripture, the passage of the Bible we have just read. This message is entitled, God with Us. As we come to this Christmas celebration, we realize that another year of our life has passed. Some of us have been here before, so this is another Christmas for you. Now we wish to be reminded of the true meaning of Christmas. Christmas is not about Christmas trees, nor about Santa Claus and his reindeers. This may come as a great surprise to many, but that is true. That is actually something introduced to the culture of certain countries who celebrated Christmas in times past. But for us, we wish to come back to the Bible and follow what the Bible teaches. That is why you do not find Christmas trees in this church. That is why you do not find anyone dressed up as Santa Claus. We are happy. We want to celebrate the coming of Jesus Christ. Therefore, there is an air of celebration around us. But we nevertheless do not want to lose the true meaning of Christmas. Christmas is about the coming of the Son of God into the midst of men. And in that way, he revealed the way of salvation for us. There are therefore two parts to this message. We mentioned that the Son of God came to the midst of men. We want to first of all understand the announcement of the birth of Jesus Christ. We mentioned also that his coming was to reveal the way of salvation for men. We therefore want to understand the significance of Christmas. So in the first part, we wish to understand the announcement of Christ's birth. From the passage of Scripture which we have just read, we know firstly that it was a miraculous birth. Joseph was given a dream by God concerning this child found in his wife Mary. You must remember that in those days the Jews engaged in or carried out a betrothal system which is quite different from our engagement today. We will have more to say about that in a moment. But what we want to note is that Mary at that time was not living with Joseph yet. It was simply not allowed. And yet Mary was found to be with child. And Joseph was very troubled about the matter. If he were to break off the betrothal, or what is equivalent to our engagement, then it would bring shame to Mary and her family. There will be a lot of people who talk about this incident. And Joseph, being very troubled about the matter, was given a dream by God. And he dreamt that an angel came and spoke to him. You say, anybody can have a dream, and you can claim anything from a dream. That may be true with us today. But you must remember that Joseph's dream was not an ordinary dream. We are told that it was a dream given to him by God. If that were not true, then the Bible would be telling us a lie. But the Bible clearly tells us that God gave him a dream. And remember that the Jews were the chosen people of God. God chose them out of all the peoples of the world in order to preserve his truth until the coming of the Savior, Jesus Christ. Therefore, understand, first of all, that Joseph's dream was not an ordinary one. Then, secondly, understand that the conception of the child in Mary was not an ordinary one. She had not slept with any man. She was found to be with child. And God revealed that that child came about into existence miraculously. That child was conceived by the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God whom we cannot see, the Spirit of God who is God Himself, performed a work of miracle in Mary such that she was found to be with child. Straight away we know that this child was not an ordinary child. This child was not going to be born with a sinful nature. This child was in fact the Son of God coming to take upon himself perfect human nature. God the Son came and took upon himself perfect human nature so that he was God and man at the same time. The Holy Spirit protected the child from the sin of the mother. Yes, Mary was a sinful person like any one of us. The Roman Catholic Church would teach otherwise. They claim that Mary was without sin. But we know that the Bible's teaching is that everyone descended from Adam and Eve has inherited their sinful nature. Since Mary was a true human being, she was descended from Adam and Eve, and therefore she had a sinful nature. If she had a child through another man, that child would share in the sinful nature of Mary and the other man. But because the Holy Spirit was the one who caused the child to exist in the womb of Mary, he was protected from the sinful nature of Mary. Mary's body was, as it were, used as the instrument to bring about the human nature of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit overshadowed him such that there was no sin passed to that child. Jesus Christ grew up as a true man, but without sin. The reason was because he was not descended from Adam. God only used Mary as an instrument to bring about the human nature, but God protected the child from any sin of Mary. That is why Jesus Christ can be regarded as the second man. Adam was the first man. Through Adam, we all were descended. We were all descended from him. When Adam sinned against God, we all sinned in him. We say we fell in Adam. But Jesus Christ came as the second man. Jesus Christ came as the last Adam. He came in order to save certain people from the race of Adam. So Jesus Christ is therefore God and man in one person who is perfectly suited to be our Savior. The conception in Mary was not an ordinary one. Then the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ was not an ordinary one. Remember that Mary had not known any man. She was still a virgin. She was only betrothed according to the Jewish custom to Joseph. The Jewish custom was that when betrothed, you are legally regarded as husband and wife. That is why Mary is referred to as the wife of Joseph. But according to the strict Jewish custom followed at that time, that wife does not come to live with the husband until the wedding day. So they have to wait until the wedding day. Sometimes the wait may be quite long. Sometimes the wait is shorter. But whatever it is, the man and the woman are not allowed to come to live together as husband and wife yet. Then when the wedding day comes, the husband and his men will come to fetch the bride to his home. Then there will be feasting. The feasting normally lasts 7 days. You see now that Mary, although legally was the wife of Joseph, had not lived with Joseph at all. And yet she was found to be with child. And nobody in the world has conceived a child without knowing a man intimately. And no woman in the world has given birth to a child without sleeping with a man. In today's technology, we have in vitro fertilization. We artificially introduce the sperm cell of a man into the womb of a woman. The woman can then bear child and give birth, although she has not slept with a man. But biologically, that woman is bearing the child of a man. With the case of Mary, that was not the case. The child in her was miraculously given by the power of the Holy Spirit. And therefore, when Mary gave birth to the child, she was truly a virgin. And this was exactly like what the Bible foretold would happen. So that brings us to the next point. Not only was the birth miraculous, but it fulfilled prophecies. The prophets before the coming of Jesus Christ had foretold that a Savior would come. And by the coming of the Savior to this world, God will be coming to live in the midst of man. And one particular prophet who prophesied, who foretold the coming of that Savior was Isaiah. Isaiah the prophet lived about 800 years before the coming of Jesus Christ. And he wrote, and it has been recorded in the Bible for all those years, "Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel." The word Emmanuel means God with us. So Isaiah had already very clearly announced that the virgin would be found with child and she would give birth to a son who would be called Emmanuel, which means that by his coming, the Savior that has been promised by all the other prophets would come to man. So Jesus Christ, therefore, is God. By his coming to this earth to live in the midst of men, God has come to live with us. And we know also that the Holy Spirit, who miraculously conceived a child in Mary, is also God. The Bible reveals to us that there is only one true God who created us all, who created the universe. And he existed from eternity, and he would continue to exist to all eternity. There was not a time when God did not exist. God has always existed, and he will always exist. While man is born and he dies, God exists forever. God is all-powerful. He controls everything that he has created. Nothing in the world happens without him knowing it, without him controlling it. Even the bad things that happen to us, the evil things that happen to us, that has been caused by Satan who introduced sin into the world, even the bad things done by wicked men on this earth, happen only by God's permission. Although God is good and never approves of evil, he nevertheless is in control of everything such that nothing happens without him being in control. Now there is only one true God, but he reveals himself as existing as in three persons. The Father is fully God. The Son is fully God. The Holy Spirit is fully God. The Trinity is not Father, Son, and Mother Mary. Mary is never God. Mary is a creature of God, who is blessed by God, who is used by God to bring about the human body of the Lord Jesus Christ. But Mary is never God. Never is Mary sinless. She is a sinful person like anyone else who needed salvation from Jesus Christ, whom she gave birth to. So the Trinity is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Each person completely God, and yet not three gods, there is only one God. According to human understanding, according to human logic, three persons, each of whom is completely God, would mean that there are three gods. But the Bible tells us that there are not three gods, there are three persons who are God, but there is only one true God. You say, this sounds like confusing talk to me. Can you explain more? Now what we can say is that we are dealing with the deep things of God. God is our creator. There are so many things about him which we creatures cannot understand about him. By our own cleverness, by the combined wisdom of the human race, we will still not be able to know all that there is to know about God our creator. That is to be expected. The Creator has to be much greater than the creatures. Therefore, all that we can know about God has to be revealed to us. He reveals to us His presence, His goodness, His power by creation. He makes known His existence to us in our conscience. And He also reveals His character to us through the Bible. By his Spirit, he moved certain holy men in the past to write down what he wanted men to know. Therefore, from the Bible, we come to know the one true God who exists in three persons. Each person completely God, and yet there are not three gods, there is only one. You see, therefore, that the many gods that we worship cannot be the true God. And the one God worshipped by other religions cannot be the true God. If what the Bible teaches is true, if what you worship includes one of them who is the true God, then the Bible is not teaching the truth. If the one God of other religions is the true God, then the God of the Bible is not the true God. But the Bible reveals to us that from the beginning, God exists in three persons. So there is this teaching about God which we get from the Bible, known as the Trinity. It shows to us that the true God is revealing to us himself through his Son, Jesus Christ. The Son of God came to take upon himself perfect human nature, to reveal God and His will to us. He reveals to us also the way of salvation. And we will have more to say about that in a moment. At the time of His birth, a star was seen. Many wise men from the east came. We are not told how many there were. Often people say there are three based on the three types of gifts given to the child. But actually, the Bible does not tell us how many. Probably there were three, but there were at least two, because we know that there were more than one man. Probably five, probably eight, we do not know. And they would probably have been accompanied by many servants who carried their gifts. So a group of men came to seek him out. And that star guided them to where he was. Today people speculate and use the computer to try and calculate to find out what that star could be. They came up with a theory that it was a supernova a very special star, which was bright, very bright. Or they claimed that it was a conjunction of planets, a number of planets come together very closely so that from Earth it looked like a big star. We do not know. God could have used all these, but it seems that the star that appeared was not a supernova nor a conjunction of planets. It seemed that it was not either of these. The reason was because that star moved and guided this wise man precisely to where the Lord Jesus Christ was. More likely, it was a special presence of a bright light like a star. The star was special in that God was guiding this man to the Lord Jesus Christ. In the time of Moses, when he led the Israelites out of Egypt to go to the promised land, God appeared as a pillar of fire by night and a pillar of cloud by day. That was the presence of God. That was the Shekinah of God. It was the glory of God present before people. So nobody could explain that. It was the miraculous presence of God in the form of a fire by night and a pillar of cloud by day. Now, if God had shown himself present in that way before, we should not be too surprised if we read that he appeared or he caused his presence to be known by an unusual star which moved according to his wish to lead this wise man to the Lord Jesus Christ. So you see now that all this was to show that the child who was born was special. He was a fulfillment of all the prophecies concerning the coming of a Savior. So we must understand the announcement of Christ's birth, that it was a miraculous birth and it fulfilled prophecies. In the second part, we want to understand the significance for us. Firstly, let us understand that we may know God only through his Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came to reveal God to us. The reason why he had to come to reveal God to us is because our understanding of God and of his will has been lost as the human race propagated and spread throughout the world. Remember that we are all descended from Adam and Eve. When Adam and Eve sinned against God, they were driven away from the presence of God. And as the human race spread throughout the world, the knowledge of the true God became corrupted by man's imagination. With time, whatever little truth is left is so mixed up with human errors that we do not know the true God anymore. We do not know his will anymore. And we come up with many gods of our own imagination, such that we worship so many gods with the hope that out of these many gods, one of them may be the true God. The Lord Jesus Christ came to this world. The Son of God came to be born as man, and he was the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came in order to reveal to us the true way back to the true God. The true God who exists in three persons, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and yet one God. He came to reveal to us the way of salvation, so we may know the true God only through his Son. No other person can reveal God to us. No one else can show to you the will of God. The Son of God came in order to reveal God and his will to us. Then secondly, we may be reconciled to God only through his Son. Remember that we are all descended from Adam and Eve. When Adam sinned against God, we, as it were sinning in him because he was our representative. God made Adam as the representative head of the human race. So when he sinned, we were sinning in him. His guilt is therefore our guilt. Because we are guilty before God, we deserve the punishment that came from Adam's sin against God. But another thing happened. Because we are descended from Adam and Eve, we share in his sinful nature. His sinful nature is passed down to us. That sinful nature in us inclines us in the direction of sin, such that you see everyone in the world sinning against God in basically the same way. We sin against God by breaking his law. We sin against God in our thoughts, by our words, and through our deeds. We lie, we hate, we murder, we commit adultery. All filth come out of us. All evil come out of us, showing to us that we have a sinful nature. Because we have broken God's laws, because we have sinned against him, we are therefore guilty for all our acts of sin. Therefore, we are now doubly guilty. We were guilty in Adam when he sinned against God. We are guilty also because of the various acts of sin we have committed. So we are guilty because we have sinned against God. We also have this sinful nature which we cannot change. Try as you might to make yourself better, you discover you can't alter what you are basically by nature. You can do certain actions, you can change your behavior pattern externally, but you cannot change what you are internally. That is why, left to yourself, you are still capable of lying. You are still capable of doing business in a corrupt way. You are still capable of hating other people. Envy and jealousy all come in. And we still do not seek after God. We still do not do what he demands of us. We do not worship him. We do not acknowledge him as our God. That is because our sinful nature remains the same, however much you try to reform your external behavior. Now what is going to happen to us? We are guilty before God because we have offended him, breaking his laws. And we have a sinful nature which we cannot change. How can the holy God receive a person who is holy? Now while we are in our lost state, while we were unable to save ourselves, God had mercy upon us. God sent his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to this world to take upon himself perfect human nature. And as God and man, he was the perfect mediator between God and fallen man. As truly God, he spoke on behalf of God to man. As truly man, but without sin, he represented fallen man perfectly before the holy God. Jesus Christ lived on this earth and then he was crucified on the cross by wicked people. It was not an accident when he died on the cross. It had all been prophesied. Jesus Christ would die. He would lay down his life as their perfect sacrifice for his people. In the Old Testament time, when people wanted to approach God to worship him, they had to bring an animal, place their right hand on the head of the animal, and then the priest would pray. Then the animal would be slaughtered, and the blood will be spilled. The animal would be burnt on the altar to God. The reason why that was done was to show to us that we deserve death under God's hand because of our sins against him. But God will accept us only when someone else died in our place. So that animal died in our place and its blood was shed to show that cleansing can be found only when a life is laid down and blood is shed. So when Jesus Christ came, he fulfilled what was spoken of by that system of animal sacrifices. Jesus Christ is called the Lamb of God. He is the perfect sacrifice to save sinners. So when he died on the cross of Calvary, it was actually to fulfill God's plan. Jesus Christ laid down his life on behalf of his people. He was punished on their behalf. God's holy anger came upon him when he died on the cross, so that his people do not have to bear the punishment for their sins. And whoever turns to trust in Jesus Christ, their sins are regarded as taken away by Christ when he died on the cross. And Jesus Christ's righteousness is regarded as given to the person who trusts in him. So in that way, the sinner can stand before God. And when God looks at that sinner who has repented of his sin and trusted in Jesus Christ, he sees that his sins have been taken away by Christ, and he sees Jesus Christ's righteousness upon that person. So based on the righteousness of Christ, we are regarded as righteous. God treats us as no more guilty. So our twin problems have been dealt with. The guilt because of our sins before God has been borne by Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ carried the punishment of our sins. Since God has punished our sins upon Jesus Christ, he will not punish us a second time. So therefore, the guilt of our sins has been paid. It has been cancelled. God has forgiven us our sins. But we have a sinful nature. We cannot be accepted by a holy God. But because we have repented of our sins and trusted in Jesus Christ, his righteousness is now regarded as given to us. His righteousness is like clean clothes that we wear. So when God looks upon us, he sees the righteousness of Christ reckoned to be ours. On the basis of Christ's righteousness, he declares us righteous. He accepts us as his son, as his daughter. And he gives to us all the blessing in Jesus Christ. Now that is how a person is reconciled to God. Jesus Christ died. He was buried. On the third day he rose again. He was seen by hundreds of people at different times. Then he was taken to heaven. And we are told that one day he will return to judge the world. So what we know is that all those who trust in Jesus Christ are forgiven by God for their sins, and they are accepted by God as his children, and they are given eternal life. The Holy Spirit comes to live in him, giving him new desires for holy things. The Holy Spirit gives him power to obey the law of God. The Holy Spirit begins to transform the person from within. So the true Christian, therefore, is a person who has been forgiven his sins, who has been accepted by God as his child, and who has the Holy Spirit transforming him from within, such that he is always seeking to know God's word and to follow after Jesus Christ. And this process of growing holier and holier will continue until we arrive in heaven. So although we are not perfect in this world, nevertheless, we are given holy desires, and we desire to live holy lives. One day, all true believers will be gathered in heaven, and we will be with the Lord Jesus Christ. We will be with the true God. We will be together with all those who have been redeemed by his blood, who have been washed clean by his blood. All of us will be gathered there. Sin will no more trouble us. We will worship God and serve him forever and ever in that new place. So you see now that peace with God comes through reconciliation with him. Reconciliation with him comes only through faith in Jesus Christ. When we talk about Christmas, we talk about peace with God and peace among men. You cannot have true peace unless you are first reconciled with God. This then is the Christmas message. You may have eternal life if you repent of your sins and come and trust in Jesus Christ, who is the Savior of sinners. You may have peace with God if you are reconciled with him through faith in Jesus Christ. So let us come to Jesus Christ in faith. In the quietness of the heart, you may repent of your sins. Make up your mind you do not want to live another day, another year without Jesus Christ as your Lord, as your Savior. Do not wait until the next Christmas before you are reminded afresh that you are still without Christ. Let this Christmas be the Christmas when you truly make up your mind that you no longer want to live without Christ. And come to Him, trust in Him, rest upon Him, believe in Him to save you. And live for Him for the rest of your life. Our life is a passing life. Every year passes so quickly. We never know which one among us might not make it for the next Christmas. It is a fact. It may be you. Who? He? She? No, you. It may be you. Don't think that you are too old or too young, or not old enough or not young enough. All of us are included. Whether young or old, we know that at any moment we may be called by God. Are you ready to meet with your God? Now we must repent of our sins and come to trust in Jesus Christ so that we may have eternal life. Let peace be upon us all today as we turn in faith to Jesus Christ.